Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, boxing fans, how you doing? This is the Big Dog, Benny Henderson Jr. coming at you live from Big Dog Radio, brought to you by Fighting Words Radio Network, featured on DoghouseBoxing.com. Be sure to check out DoghouseBoxing.com for the latest news. Got some great writers up there doing a pretty good job, so make sure to check that out. I want to first off thank everybody who is listening tonight to the show. We really appreciate you guys for listening in. If you feel like talking to anybody or talking to us or give us your thoughts or whatever, you can call us at 347-202-0832. The number again is 347-202-0832. Be sure also to check out, I mentioned Fighting Words Radio Network. Make sure to check out Fighting Words Radio every Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern, Central Standard Time. Butch and Bob Carroll talk about everything in the boxing world. You can check that out at fightingwordsonline.com. And don't forget about our boys, Suge, Patty, and Tim on the Grind Radio, Sundays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can check them at onthegrind.com. We got a pretty good show tonight. First off, we're going to have heavyweight veteran, former contender, looking to try to get back in the mix of things, Dominique Nguyen. And we'll also have, after that, we'll have the undefeated light middleweight prospect, Sean Porter. Before we go any further, I do want to, again, say thanks to everybody listening in. My mind just went blank, fellas. I do just want to introduce to you my co-host. First off, he is the man of Fighting Words Radio, as well as All Hell Hair, which comes on every other Friday, I believe.
Damn good, 8 to 9.
Yeah, damn good show, man. He's had some good guests, and he has a big guest coming up, which I'll let him fill the beans on that. But I'll just say the guy has played with a group called Quiet Riot, and as well as Rat. All you 80s guys know it. But no further ado, Bob Carroll. How you doing, Bob?
Good, man. How's it going, buddy?
No, it's going great. On the
30th, we'll have former lead guitarist for Quiet Riot and current lead guitarist for the group Rat, who's just coming out with a brand-new album on April 20th. That's Carlos Caveras. Also played with Ozzy Osbourne. He took the place of Randy Rhoads in Quiet Riot, so he lived up to a huge name there. So we'll have him on it'll be from 8 to like 8:15. It won't be that long. We'll have him on, but you'll be able to hear the brand new Rat. You'll be able to hear Quiet Riot, all the other Rat, and Jet Boy. On that show, I've had a lot of people. Jet Boy this past week. Danger. So it's show's going pretty good.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. We also got on the line, man. He is from On the Grind I hear he's played in a few porn movies. One was called This Won't Hurt Much. The other was like, Oh My Gosh, That's What It Is.
Above average.
Philly. Yeah, go ahead. He's Philly's very own, Tim Cougis. What's up, Tim?
Nothing much, Benny. Real funny. That's funny, by the way.
Tim always sounds the same, doesn't he? Excited or not, hey, man. I mean, you'd be like, hey, man, you know, go to the doctor, give bad news. That sucks. You know? That's always laid back, man. I appreciate that, Tim. That's always laid back. Hey, guys, before we get into this, you know, we had two deaths this past weekend. One being, a great man in my eyes, man, ambassador of the sport of boxing, was Arthur McKinney Sr. You know, he was a referee, man, started in the 60s and retired in 2001. I mean, he did, just countless fights. I mean, fights like with Floyd Patterson, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, Joe Frazier. I mean, he did a lot of that stuff, you know, refereeing, I should say. He had a book out called Inside the Ropes that I got to read and do an article on. It was a very, very good book. You ought to check that out. He was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 1995. But that was Arthur McKinney Sr., died at the age of 90. And then Laureen, how do you say her last name, Bob, without me messing it up?
Sargeen.
Okay, thank you. She passed away. I believe she had her husband is Don. Been in the business for years, you know, as far as, you know, she was a great ambassador for the sport. We lost those guys. And before we go any further, man, I'd like to give these guys, you know, I like to, for a moment of silence, a thought and prayer or whatever, I'd like to give these guys a 10 count. Again, that was in memory of Arthur McKinney Sr. And you go ahead and say the other name, Bob. I'm from Texas.
Laureen Sargeen.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. May they rest in peace, and God bless him, and I hope their family who left behind are coping with the loss. All right. Without we'll get to something besides besides something heartbreaking. We had some fights this past weekend. Of course, Berto, the WBC welterweight champion, under Berto. He scored an eighth-round TKO over the former WBL champion, Carlos Quintana, over there in Florida. It was Berto, man, was just, he just seemed, he was a lot stronger, of course, and he was faster than Quintana. Of course, Quintana, I believe he's the only man to beat Paul Williams. And then, of course, Paul Williams came back and destroyed him. But what are your thoughts on that fight, Tim, on Berto stopping Quintana?
I mean, it was a good showcase by Berto. It was a good opponent for him. He did what he had to do. The latest news was he had a tear, and I think it was his left bicep, too, so he kind of soldiered on. Hopefully
yeah,
we see him against
right.
top best competition coming up soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought he did a pretty decent job. I mean, he stopped the guy. You know, Quintana's tough, you know. Also, we had former guest of the show, the 47-year-old four-time heavyweight champion Evander Holyfield stopped 41-year-old Francis Botha in the eighth round. that was do that one more time, Bob.
That's impressive.
Yeah, Holyfield stopped, 47 years old, stopped both in eighth round. Now he's won the names like Vladimir Klitschko. You know, I think he won the WBF heavyweight title, which is, what's the belt for? I don't know. I mean, but
that's
he won that title. But hey, Bob, what are your thoughts? Holyfield, 47 years old. He has proved people wrong because we all three was in agreement that we believe that he beat Valuev. But where does he go from here? I mean, I personally don't see him beating any of the Klitschko's or David Haye.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see this fight. From all accounts that I read, he was actually behind in all the cards, losing to both of on all the judges' cards. He did not look too impressive at all, and I may have suffered some kind of injury during the fight. This is something Timmy brought up. When we originally started talking about this fight, that this is an easy win for Holyfield, and it, in all accounts, should have been an easy win for Holyfield. And it sounded like he made it a lot harder than he had to. And he wound up catching Botha when Botha made some mental errors and knocking him out. So I don't see, as much as I love Holyfield, I just don't see him going much further than he already is.
What do you think there, Tim?
There's nothing left for him as a title challenger. I mean, he can keep going for these fights if he needs the paydays. Fight guys, that have been around a while, guys that are decent-sized names that maybe don't pose a threat as Klitschko's or Haye do, but fighting any one of the champions right now, I see nothing but embarrassment and destruction for Evander.
I agree with you, man. I mean, he did a lot, man, but I think, the train is went off the tracks on this one. Also, of course, we had some fights on the UFC side, UFC 12, where Anderson Espada Silva kept his title, defeating Demian Maia via unanimous decision. Wasn't a very fun fight to watch. It was kind of boring. But I mean, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
You're goddamn right.
UFC lightweight title holder BJ Penn lost to Frankie Edgar, beat him by the scores of 50-45, 48-47, 49-46. And Matt Hughes defeated Renzo Gracie, via TKO in the final round. Pretty good night of fights, except for the Silva fight. Are you a Silva fan, Tim?
No, not really. And from what I heard, it was a disgraceful performance from him. I didn't get to see the card myself, but I heard it was pretty much disgusting.
Well, he's a good fighter. I mean, regardless of this, how bad this looked, but I mean, the one thing that Dana White wants and the UFC fans, what brings UFC fans in, is the knockouts, is the mud, the blood. They really like that. And champion or not, if you don't give that to them, you're not going to. They're going to weed you out one way or another. So. And, of course, you have to lose the title, but, there is also something, with contracts and all that. So he's going to have to get out there and push a little harder next time. But that was just a little bit about the MMA. Right now we're going to get
weigh in. If I can weigh in just a second. On Anderson Silva, from all accounts, from what I've heard, I don't know much about the MMA, but from what I heard, Anderson Silva is sort of like in a situation that Roy Jones Jr. was in when he was in his prime, where there was very, very little competition for him in his division. And I think that his clowning around and everything like that, that he did, it kind of embarrassed Dana White. And everyone, no matter if you're an MMA fan or not, is aware that there was controversy coming from Dana White, the owner of the UFC, towards Anderson Silva. But from what I can understand, I mean, it's not the first time this guy's done this, but this guy is destroying everyone they put in front of him. So he's either got, at this point, he's got to go up in weight or he's got to go down in weight. And one of the names that I heard him call out is George St. Pierre, who, we're trying to get on this show here, basically because I like his politics. But besides that, apparently those two are so similar in styles and power that would be the super fight in the UFC. Am I correct in that assumption, Timmy?
Oh, yeah, it would definitely be a super fight. It would probably be the biggest fight that they can have at this point, other than bringing somebody else in to fight Brock Lesnar.
Gotcha.
Brock Dick Chess Lesnar, as Reggie Warren Reggie Warren Jr. put it. Brock Dick Chess Lesnar, that son of a bitch, I tell you what. Oh, Reggie Warren Jr., he's a funny cat. He'll be on the show here shortly. Right now, guys, let's go into it. Bob, why don't you try to give the call to the first guest? We're going to try to get Dominique Gwynn on the line. He's coming up this weekend fight, so let's see if we get him on the line. Dominique.
What's going on, Benny?
What are you doing, buddy?
Good morning, man. I'm sitting there waiting on your call. You're running late and shit, man. It's about you got 9 minutes past.
I'm sorry. Hey, guys, listen, guys, we're on live with my man Dominique Gwynn, heavyweight veteran. I mean, he's had 39 fights. He's fighting this weekend on the Kelly Pavlik undercard there in Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City. It's Dominique Gwynn. So, besides me being late, I do apologize about that. We were talking about some girls and panties and stuff, and so we kind of forgot about boxing. But, man, what's going down in your world, Dom?
Not much, man. Just taking my time, trying to get back to the top, and taking it one day at a time, one step at a time, one fight at a time, and just trying to get back, man. And you know, I can really say that I'm focused. I'm more focused now than I was back when I was undefeated, and expecting big things and better things. And like I say, if you're with me, you're with me. If you're not with me, I don't give a shit. Fuck you, and we can move on. But anyway, now.
I know you're coming up now. You got 4 wins under your belt. You know, we have spoke before that, you know, it's been a while since you have strung together 4 wins. And you know, I'm not saying nothing bad. You know, it's been, you know, it's, you haven't strung together 4 wins, and you know, since you lost your first fight in 2003. But you kind of spotted from there. Well, what's the difference? I mean, you know, you beat, you know, when you come in, you beat one Francis Bergen, knocked him out. Then you knocked out Johnny White in the first round. You beat Charles Davis, gave down decision. You know, these 4 wins. Well, what is the difference now than what was you then? You know, I guess what's the difference now in you than what was you back in 2003?
You know what? To make a long story short, a lot of people, you know, I mean, you're on the outside looking in, and you really don't know what goes on in the lives of anybody. Like, I don't know, I mean, how your day went, and you don't know how my day went, but make a long story short, and just to sum it up, you know, I had some things that happened in my boxing past that kind of set me back, and it wasn't going in the ring fighting. No, it wasn't that. It was the politics. It was the management. It was the promotion. There was a lot of that behind it that kind of set me back and sent me in that Monty Berry fight, my first loss, sent me into that fight where I was prepared physically, but I wasn't mentally prepared when I got there, and some things I found out that kind of screwed me up with my management and with my promotions, and it threw me off. And then, make a long story short, from there, that loss, and then I just started going in the ring just, you know, really not giving a fuck. Like I say, I would prepare well, but then once I get to the ring, and then I go back to thinking, okay, these motherfuckers probably fucking me out of my money. And that's where I would get lackadaisical on the knowing that I have to go in here and fight, too, no matter what, win these fights, and then it'll make my pettiness go up. But at the time, it wasn't like that. My mindset was, you know, I didn't care because I know they were screwing me. And that's where I was at. And now I just got focused, and I just got to realize that at the end of the day, I mean, somehow they're going to find a way to screw us, screw the boxers, screw the trainer. So right now, what I'm really on now is no matter what, I'm going to bust my ass, and whatever they do decide to pay me, I'm going to try to get the best I can get, and just go out there and do what I got to do. And I'm retiring. That's what I did. I think it was a Robert Hawkins fight. I went up there. And after the fight, like I said, I didn't do shit, lost the fight. And I came out the ring and running, and I sat down, you know, on the plane on the way back, and we just talked about it. And he was telling me I should retire. And that's when I thought about it, and I said, you know, I've been boxing 20-something years. And my first goal was to make the Olympic team and win a gold medal. And that didn't, I failed that. And then my next goal was to become heavyweight champion of the world. And after Ronnie told me I needed to retire, that's when I really sat down and thought with myself, and I came back, said with my family, that's when I told my wife, I said, you know what, I'm gonna give it one good go around, and I'm gonna bust my ass, and I'm gonna just rededicate myself. And I can honestly say I'm back in love with boxing. I love the fight, and that's why I had so many amateur fights and so many probably not that many professional fights. But I'm back in love with boxing. That's how it was before I lost. When I went in with Duncan Dakwari, Michael Grant, and Monty Berry, I love to box. I love to put on a show. I love that. But I could say the people that I had in my career or in my corner at this time, they took the love away from me, and I wasn't going in the ring anymore feeling like that. And now I can definitely say that I'm back to feeling like that, and I'm back to feeling good, and I'm loving boxing, and all I want to do is go in there and really hurt somebody. I never went in the ring like that, feeling like that, to where I want to hurt somebody, but now Mike Tyson, you know, used to coach us on it and tell us how, you know, go in there and try to put my left hook through the one side of his head to the other side. And my thing, I just want to go in there and win the fight. Like, if I hurt you, I hurt you. If I don't, I don't. But now I'm really there now to where I really want to hurt somebody, because I know they're out there want to hurt me too. So if you get in there with me and I get a chance to get your chin up in there, I'm trying to knock your fucking teeth maybe to the fourth or fifth row, and I'm not going to feel bad at all. And that's bad to say, but if I kill somebody in the ring, I'm not going to feel bad, because that's the boxing game. If I die in the ring, hey, I mean, it just that's what happens. That's boxing. It's a brutal sport.
Damn, I'm scared to ask you another question.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Hell, Bob, you go ahead. Bob, you asking some shit. I'm shutting up.
No, man, I'm being quiet. And this guy's trying to kill people.
I'm sorry on that, but that's my mindset right now. Is that, I mean, I know that's what the boxing media want to see. You know, we got so many critics out here. Like, say, you can win four, five, six fights in a row, you lose one fight, you ain't shit. And y'all know that.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. And my last fight, I can honestly say, I get up when I'm fighting somebody. I don't get up, I'm sorry to say, I don't get up when I'm fighting somebody that's less than me. And I always been like that, and I'm sorry to say, you know, last fight, I didn't get up for that guy. I didn't get up. It was just, you know, I felt it was a sparring match, and then he didn't come to fight either. But I'm hoping this next guy come to fight, and then we're looking for big things. I heard that they're just to put a heavyweight Super 6 together. So I'm really auditioning this weekend to try to make that Super 6 heavyweight
division. Yeah, that'd be Yeah, that's interesting, because I mean, the heavyweight division really needs a boost, in my opinion. We need something.
I was told that a few days ago, so I'm just sitting back. It's a couple of fighters out there. I'm not gonna call their names, but they know who I'm talking about. It's a couple of fighters in the top 10 in the heavyweight division that we have seen. With Klitschko, and you know, and trying to fight Klitschko, that my name has been mentioned on fighting them, and they turned the fight down. But I mean, that's not a surprise. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I'm washed up and I'm done. But at the end of the day, when it's time to fight me, that's when people are bagging back. So I'm hoping something big come through. The Alexander Povetkin fight, hopefully they come back through, and, you know, hopefully they come on to the United States, because I know they're not going to give me a fair decision over there, which I wouldn't want to go over there anyway and get a decision. I'm going over there and knocking the fuck out if the fight was ever to be made. I would love to fight David Haye, but my goals are to fight Klitschko, Vladimir Klitschko, and when I beat him, turn around, I fight the brother, and go out on top. That's the fights I'm looking for.
You know,
I know at the same time, I have to win some more fights, so that's what I'm doing. Winning the fights, whoever they put in front of me, that's who I'm going in there against, going there to beat, so I can get the big fight, and that's what I'm looking for. And I've never been the one to say that I will fight this person, or I didn't want to fight this person. No, I always want to say I was a people's champion, and I'll fight whoever, and that's how I've always been. So come on with that question, Benny.
No. You know, what does a hungry, you know, you said you got the hunger, because I'm going to tell you right now, man, I've been one of your fans for several years now. Just like when I approached you when we first met at the Holyfield fight, I walked up to you and gave you my card, and I remember I just talked to you, and I really had a good conversation with you, and I was thinking, you know, I didn't hear from you for about 2 months, and one day you called me, and ever since then I feel like we've been friends. We're honest with each other, you know. But I've been pissed off a few times at you. I'm not going to lie, you know, in the fights, but you're
You know what, Benny? Okay, mm-hmm. And I totally understand, and I understand. I'm not. This is me right here. I don't get mad when somebody criticizes me or give me constructive criticism. That's life. And if you're not old enough or if you can't understand it, that you're gonna get people to criticize you and get people to give me constructive criticism, then you're just not gonna move ahead. I know I don't know it all, but I know enough. But I mean enough to get by. But I mean no, I feel the same way with my buddies. Jermaine, when he go in there and fight, when he was fighting, it would make me sick to, see him do this and see him do that, especially when I know I done told him this. So, no, I totally understand. And I'm not going to manage.
Nah, that's good because, you don't live that far, but if you die from me, and so I have to be out of here before you get here. But, no, like I said, I'm really not criticizing. I know a few times you pissed me off because I feel like, hey, he could do so much better than this. So, but now you're saying that. You're getting hungrier. You're back to being hungry. You're in love with the sport. So what does that mean for the boxing world? What does that mean for the fans? What does that mean to the heavyweight division
Well, for the fans, if you come out to watch Dominic Nguyen, if you come out to watch Dominic Nguyen fight the Southern Disaster, if you come out to watch him fight, then you'll get an entertaining show. You might get the knockout you want to see, or you might get a nice boxing show, some punches. I don't know what I can say the other person is going to do, but I'm definitely going to say I'm going all out. Either I'm going out there to knock you the fuck out, or you're going to knock me out. And, that's how I'm living now. And I'm a knock on wood. I haven't been knocked out yet, but... if it happened, it happened, but I'm coming to fight.
Hey, Tim Cougis, we got Tim on the line as well. He's one of our co-hosts. Do you have anything you want to ask or say to Dominic while we got him on the line? Hello, Tim. Dominic, I think you scared him. But
he's still there.
He is? Hey, Tim, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, hey, let me ask you a question there. I guess you have been in camp at Holyfield before, haven't you, down there?
Yeah. Well, about 2 years. 3 years on there, fella.
Yeah, Holyfield, just 47 years old, just beat Francis Bosa. What do you think? He's wanting to fight for heavyweight title. He's calling for Klitschko, whatever. Well, being honest, from your opinion, what are your thoughts on him becoming a five-time heavyweight champion at this point in time in his career?
I would love to see it, but I don't know. I'm not gonna say he can't do it, and I'm not gonna say he can do it. All I'm gonna say is it's up to him to bust his butt in the gym, and it's not gonna just get on the guy tip, but it's really, if it's meant for him to become five-time world champion. Heavyweight champion of the world, then that's what's going to happen. I woke up this morning, I didn't know what I was going to do as far as going to the gym. I knew I was going to go to the gym, but I didn't know exactly everything I was going to do. But God already had it laid out what I was going to do. And maybe God already has it laid out for Holyfield. Or maybe the cards are he's going to be four-time heavyweight champion of the world. Maybe not five. Maybe he don't realize it yet, but if it happened for him, congratulations, I'm happy for him. But if it doesn't, he still has accomplished a lot.
Oh, yeah, he has.
To be honest with you, I hate to see him still boxing at 47 years old. Because he has so much left to give back to kids. And that's what I want to do at the end of the day when I'm finished boxing. I want to go back, to my hometown, to Hot Springs, Arkansas, and give back to the Boys and Girls Club like my boxing coach did, the coaches are sometimes overlooked because at the end of the day, they didn't have to come down there and volunteer their time. They wasn't getting paid. And he volunteered his time to plenty of kids besides myself every day. And he had wife and kids of his own. So, I want to do that and get my time back to kids.
You're fighting this weekend there in Atlantic City on the Boardwalk Hall. I guess it's correct. You're fighting a guy named Terrell Nelson. More of just a stay busy fight, I guess, keep you going. Do you know anything about the guy you're fighting?
From the one fight I seen, he fought Vinny Matalone. From the one fight I seen him fighting, it just showed one round. Kind of heavy guy, maybe look about 260, 270. They call himself the Baby Bull.
he looks like he's going to come straight forward, throwing wide and wild shots. So I'm going to come out and box him and try to set up some good stuff so I can have a pretty knockout. And you'll be catching on YouTube, I'm guessing.
Hey, before we let you go, we're going to take a break here. In closing, what do you want to say to the boxing world as far as the naysayers, as far as the guys who's like me, I've been backing for years. As far as people who's been talking shit about you, the ones who's been talking good about you, to the boxing world itself, what would you want to say to these guys?
I'm going to say to the people that have been backing me, thank you. I mean, no matter what, I mean, I know, you know, a few times I'll probably let you down. To the people who have been backing me, thank you for supporting me and always being with me. For the people that haven't been backing me, thank you, too, for the, you know, for the criticism and for the constructive criticism, because don't think that I don't, you know, don't listen to it or don't read it. I mean, I read it, and I know that if I would let my hands go, I would have won the fight and stuff like that. No, I read all that. And to the to just the boxing media and boxing public, hey, on behalf of myself and on behalf of the heavyweight division, we're gonna try to turn around. I really don't think the heavyweight division is in a slump right now. It's just the right fights are not being made. Everybody's politicking to get this big money fight. Okay, yes, I want the big money fight too, but I'm gonna be honest with you, the last maybe 6 or 7 fights I fought for fucking peanuts. But I mean, I'm not crying because I know at the end of the day, at the end of the road, then hey, when I deserve the title shot, when I get to the title shot, then I'm gonna get paid and I deserve it. But to sit back now and not fight nobody, then turn around and all of a sudden you want this big Klitschko fight and you want the millions of dollars, you're the one fucking up the heavyweight division. So if you're heavyweight and you sit there and you hear me now, I'm talking to you. So that's it, man. We can make this the boxing, the heavyweight division turn out a little better. You know, if we start making some better fights, and I mean, even if it's not for the money, make it better for TV. Because I'm not taking anything away from UFC and MMA. I mean, them are good fights. I love watching them guys. But the heavyweight division, I mean, we're still the best division out there as far as, you know, what people want to see. They want to see somebody get knocked out. Now all we have to do is just make these fights, make the right fights, and quit just trying to get a payday.
Well, Dominique, I appreciate your time, man. It's always a pleasure speaking with you on and off the record.
Yeah,
I
appreciate y'all for having me. And
no,
you
man,
have
we'll
my
have
number anytime.
We'll have you on more. You know that. I'll get drunk and call you on that. Hey, what are you doing, buddy? But appreciate you, man, and I don't believe in luck, so I'll just say this coming up weekend, do your thing, brother. God bless. Be safe. Be good. And
okay.
We'll talk to you.
Thank
we'll
you.
Talk to you
take
soon.
Care. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Yeah, that was Dominique Gwynn. He's fighting this weekend. Terrell Nelson there on the Kelly Pavlik undercard, the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey. A character, man. He's pretty damn outspoken. I've always enjoyed speaking with him. We're going to take a real quick break, I guess, because we got Sean Porter coming up here in about 3 minutes. So I guess if y'all want to take a real quick break, we will. And after the break, we'll have Sean Porter. You're listening to Big Dog Radio.
Listeners, if you are into 80s metal, don't forget to check out All Hail Hair, the show that brings back the greatest era in music, the hair metal days. Join host Bob Carroll as he walks you down memory lane, a time where your biggest worries were gas money, homework, and trying to get dates for the weekend. All Hail Hair not only plays the staples from the hair metal days, but bands like London Choir Boys, Kix, Crocus, Jet Boy, Pretty Boy Floyd, Shotgun Messiah, and others that you have heard but may have forgotten. They also keep the listeners up to date on the status of their favorite 80s bands. All Hail Hair is the only place you will hear new songs from bands like Poison, Def Leppard, Rat, Winger, and Danger Danger. So get your spandex on, slip on the leg warmers, and turn on the best metal show, All Hail Hair, every other Friday night, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on the Fighting Words Radio Network page.
This portion of on the program is presented by Dr. Kathleen Carroll of Bloomingdale Psychiatric Associates in Brandon, Florida, on behalf of the men and women in the armed forces, law enforcement, and fire rescue. Dr. Carroll treats psychiatric problems from the womb to the tomb, from children to adults. Her office is professionally staffed to deal with any type of problem, and does so in a caring, gentle fashion. Dr. Carroll also specializes in sports psychiatry. If an athlete is not able to reach the next level, she can help. She is a world-class athlete, and her training in both sports psychiatry and sporting events will benefit today's athlete who has seemed to hit the wall. Dr. Carroll is located at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. For more information on her services, give the office a call at 813-689-2466.
Hey, boxing fans, how you doing? This is the Big Dog, Benny Henderson Jr. coming at you from Big Dog Radio, brought to you by Fighting Words Radio Network, featured on DoghouseBoxing.com. We just had Dominique Wynn on the line. He was a funny character. He's always outspoken, but right now we are joined by the undefeated junior middleweight prospect, very, very talented fighter, Sean Porter. How you doing, Sean?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Listen, I really, really appreciate you coming on speaking with us. I got to speak with you back in November when you were fixing to fight Jerome Ellis. And, you know, when I talked to you the first time, I thought you was a very, very cool cat. And I got a lot of respect for you. So I appreciate you, man. So how's everything going down in your world?
It's going good. We just finished up camp in L.A. and on the planes right now, headed to Salisbury. We jump on a plane real soon to get into Salisbury and just get ready to, you know, finalize this thing, go to work.
This Raul Pinzon, I guess it's I'm from Texas, so I kind of speak funny when I see names. I can't get it all right, but Raul Pinzon, I guess. Wow, whatever. Thanks, Bob. You're fighting this guy. what do you know about this? Do you know anything about this guy you're fighting?
Yeah, Raul Pinzon's from Colombia. He's 17-4 with 16 knockouts. So he's got some pop on his shot. But we got a little bit of film on him. Dissected him this week and last week, and we're more than ready for him. He's about 5'8", and he's just a strong Colombian.
When you see guys like this, I know there's different preparations for different fighters. Most likely with 16 knockouts, 17 fights, look like he might just come right at you. You mentally prepare. I'm talking about physically prepare, mentally. But I guess when you get your hands wrapped, you're in the room before the fight. How do you personally mentally prepare for a fight?
Usually just a lot of music, whether it be gospel or hip hop, something that, you know, ease my mind and keep me focused, and also keep me a little amped for the match. And like you say, you know, wrap the hands up, of course. Get a good prayer in the back room, and followed by some good mid work to warm up the body, and then, you know, the rest has already been done in the gym. So we come prepared to fight, and that's what we're ready to do.
Oh, you were in camp with Manny Pacquiao, preparing Pacquiao for his fight. Excuse me, over Miguel Cotto. What was it like being? I mean, of course, you was on the HBO and all that. But what was it like for you to be in camp with such a I mean, he's a great fighter in my eyes. What was it like being with this guy?
Yeah, it was great. It was you know, everything you would expect. He's the real deal, and it's just an honor, you know, to have been in the ring with him and be able to try to do the things that he's done. You know, going up against so many you know, great fighters and being successful. I look to do the same.
Hey, TM Cougis, you still in line, buddy?
No, he's. We just lost him again.
Okay, well, Bob, you have anything you'd like to ask or say to Sean Porter?
Well, you talked about the pop that this kid Pinzon is going to be bringing into the ring. How do you prepare against a fighter that can throw some bombs? Is there a special way that you set yourself up, or is there certain? Like you said, you sparred with my favorite fighter of all time, Manny Pacquiao.
You really don't.
I'm not listening. I'm not taking a shot at you. I'm taking a shot at Bob. If you knew how much Bob loved Pacquiao, you'd be scared. I think he has Manny Pacquiao underwear. I mean, that's how much he loves him.
Hey, I wear them too.
There you go. I'm not alone.
You're aware of it, and but you don't let that stop anything that you have going on in your fight plan. And so we prepare to box, and we prepare to knock somebody out too. So I'm not going to go into the ring worrying about his power at all, or the fact that he's knocked out 16 of his 17 wins. I'm just going to go in there and do what I do and get the job done.
If you think about it, I mean, hell, looking at your record, you're 13-0 with 10 knockouts, 6 of those come in the first round. So if I was him, I'd be kind of scared too. You're pretty damn hard hitter yourself.
Yeah. So, and depending on who you are, the way you handle things, that could be in your mind or that could not. The way my dad trains me and the way that I am, we don't go into the ring worrying about anyone's status or what they've done. We go in there prepared to do our job and get our job done.
You're 22 years, 22, 20, I can't even talk, 22 years old. You're becoming a star in the division. You're growing pretty quick. Your name is getting really big, getting bigger pretty quick. How do you to stay grounded at 22 years? I'm not saying nothing bad, but you're still young and you're still growing, how do you stay grounded? I mean, at such a young age.
It's just a pretty cool experience, and I have my dad with me. He's my manager, so it's not hard to stay grounded with him around. But it's just the type of person I am as well. I'm just a little subtle, cool kid. So I take it and I have fun with it. But aside from that, it's all business and work for us.
That's great coming from you, because I'm 34 years old and my wife still has to keep you on a leash and spank me every now and then with a new favorite.
Yeah, but you like that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, well, I don't want to say it out on the radio, but I'm not wearing Manny Pacquiao underwear, fellas, so okay. Mine's Mike Tyson. I like Mike Tyson, so. But anyway.
Yeah, some of those underwear.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, did you get Tim back yet, or is he still gone?
No, I don't have Tim. We have a caller wants to ask a question. We have Guy from Atlanta.
Okay, have him on.
Go ahead.
Cool.
Go ahead.
Hey, what's happening, Sean? What's happening,
hey.
Man? Yeah, I'm from South Carolina, man, not Georgia.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, Sean, man, I spoke to you before on another show, man, right before your last fight. And that dude looked like he was giving you a little bit of problems, man, but you prevailed. Would you say that was, like, your toughest fight?
Yeah, it was my toughest fight. Only the second time I've gone the distance in my professional career. So, like you said, I prevailed, and I've learned a lot from the fight. And I'm still growing in the sport. I'm only 13 fights in, so we're rocking and rolling with this, and we're learning, having fun. Everything that comes along with having a great career, we're having it right now.
Definitely. Yeah, because I just hope they take their time with you, man, and because I love watching you. I believe you are the future, man, and it's going to be exciting to see you come through these ranks, man, because I think you're something serious. I'm always preaching the cats around the way about you. Just try to stay in shape the best you can, and I hope the best way, man. I think you can do good.
Thanks a lot, man. God bless.
Brother, we appreciate you coming on the show, man, and asking a question. We appreciate you for calling in.
Definitely. Yeah.
Bob, is there anything you'd like to say to Sean, buddy?
Well, one of the things that about Sean is that he was, I believe you were an alternate in the U.S. Olympic team. Is that right, Sean?
Yes.
Yeah. How much pressure did you feel? Do you feel going through the that as compared to your pro career so far?
What do you mean?
Meaning when you're going through the Olympic, the boxing, Olympic boxing, everything is you know trying to make the Olympic team. Is there as much pressure in that amateur type realm than there is you know getting up through you know the 13 fights so far?
I would say not, and I say no because you know the amateurs, you know you win some, you lose some, and you know, but you later fight another day. And in the professional ranks, you know, one shot and you could be gone. So we try to be great at everything that we do, and try not to make any mistakes along the way. And I think that's what separates the amateurs from the pros.
Gotcha.
What do you feel separates you from the other prospects in your division?
I just think that you know I'm an exciting fighter, and I have a lot to show in one fight. You know, some guys can just move and box. Some guys can just knock you out, and if they don't knock you out, they're gonna lose. You know, I have a lot to offer in one match, and I think that's something that separates me from most of the other fighters out there.
Is there what can the fight fans? Excuse me. What can the fight fans there in Salisbury, Maryland, expect from fight night from Sean Porter?
You know, excitement as usual, and I think they'll see a little different Sean Porter that they've seen in the past. I look to sit down a little bit more on my shots and make it, you know, just a really great, exciting fight.
Well, Sean, listen, man, I appreciate you for coming on tonight. It's a blessing speaking with you. You're down to earth. You're grounded. And,
hey, Benny.
Yes?
Hey, Benny, we do have Tim back, so.
Okay. Tim, I'm good. How you doing?
Hey, I'm back.
Oh, Tim. Okay. Hey, Tim, we got Sean Porter on the line, man. I'm glad you made it back. Would you like to ask Sean anything before we let him go?
Hey, Sean, now that you're making your way, it looks like down to 147. Is there anyone you're specifically eyeing up in the future, like for your next few fights?
No, not right now. We're focused 100% on my career and trying to make the best of it. And you know, along with losing the weight, we're looking at you know my body, how I feel, and you know how I perform also in the fight. So there's a lot that's going into this, and you know we don't have any time to focus on anyone else right now.
Go ahead, Tim.
That's all I have, Sean.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, man.
Now, hey, well, Sean, listen, dude, we appreciate you coming on and speaking with us. Like I was saying before, Tim called in and rudely interrupted me. I just want to say thanks, man. God bless, and just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll speak to you again, my friend.
Guys, thanks for having me. God bless you, too, and you all have a good night.
Be good.
Thanks, Sean.
All right.
That was the undefeated Sean Porter. He's coming up fighting this. Fighting. He is fixing to fight again, I should say. 13-0 with 10 knockouts. Pretty classy kid, man. What do you personally think about Sean Porter as a fighter, Tim?
You know, I really like him. I've watched him a lot on ESPN and Showbox. His last fight, you know, it was mildly disappointing, but he was on center stage for the first time really in his career. So I mean, I can't wait. I would love to see him move down to 147 because there's a fight I would like to see in the future between him and Philly's own Mike Jones.
Ooh, nice. Mike Jones, both Sean Porter and Mike Jones on a fast track. So that would be a very, very good future matchup right there.
He seems to be grounded at such a young age, and I think that's a lot to do with it. I mean, of course, you got to train, you got to have the talent, you got to have the gift. You know, you got to do all that stuff involved physically. But like we was talking to Dominique Glenn, who didn't have the mental aspect of it at times. And you see what happened to his career with that. So for him to be grounded and beats the clean kid. I mean, you know, with the talents and the mental strength and physical, I mean, he, hell, there's no telling how far he can go. But anyways, that was two good guests we had on. You know, Vladimir Klitschko, I don't know if y'all was reading, he was calling out David Haye, you know, to, I guess, unify his IBF, WBO, IBO title, you know, for the WBA title. So many buzz. Anyways, he basically said, David, don't be a coward and run away. Hey, I believe, you know, there
we still have we still have a caller from South Carolina G on the phone with us. He wants,
okay,
to say something to Timmy.
Yep. Hey, Big Timmy, Big Time Timmy. It's D, man. What's happening?
What's good?
I didn't know you do another show, man. I just found out about this show that you're on occasionally right here, yeah.
How do you like it?
Yeah, so far, man, yeah, I like it, definitely. Yeah, big Porter, man. I'm a big supporter of that dude there, man. I think he's going to be throwing some monkey wrenches. He's definitely somebody like, shoot, man, he's going to be doing something big here. Well, probably another couple years, year and a half maybe. But,
you know, I don't know about you guys.
Under that Klitschko deal, man, David Haye, man, I mean, I wonder, it's going to be interesting to see how this how they come at that dude, man, because the way that contract was, you know, originally, with all the rematches, fight the brother after that, and after that, fight him again if, you know, if he wins or whatever. See, David got some bargain. He can bargain now a little bit now that he got that title. It's going to be interesting to see if they come at him the same way. You know, I don't think they're going to be able to do that.
No, once you excuse me, you know the politics of boxing, man. It's like any kind of politics, crooked, you know. But as far as this goes, once you get a foot in your door, get a foot in the door, or let's say get a title, you know, you have something. You have something to bargain with, or you just can't be pushed into this or pushed into that. So, you know, I think it'd be an interesting fight. You know, I'm not the biggest Klitschko fan in the world. I think that they're dominant. They're not the most most entertaining fighters, I shall say, but Vladimir Klitschko, he has a lot of pop, a lot of power, and I like to see how he fights David Haye, who's pretty damn quick.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's going to be, you know, and Haye's chin, both of their chins are suspect, you know, so I think it would depend on, I think they have, David Haye got a pretty good chance, man, of pulling an upset off that right there.
I ain't gonna put no money
on him, but out of all the heavyweights that are going at him, you know, in the past and stuff, I think with his quickness, that could give him some problems.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the one thing about Klitschko, I mean, one thing about any heavyweight can win a fight on any given night with one punch. I mean, you get two big guys out, you know, over 100 pounds slinging, you know, slinging into each other, somebody can get knocked out quick, you know. So it's just a matter of, it could be a matter of who hits who first flush, you know. It's a possibility in that fight.
All right. I tell you what I don't want to see. I don't want to see him fight Valuev, man. Come on, who wants to see that? But it looks like,
right,
I think they're going to go after that money. They're going to go after the money and, and I believe that's who Haye's going to end up fighting next, I think.
You know, all four of us have seen Valuev fight, and the only thing Valuev has is if you get close to him, he's going to be able to hit you. Besides that,
right,
he has no movement. I mean, he's very easy to hit. You can't hit him in the head unless you're on a stepladder, but besides
right
that, if you jump up, you can probably connect with him. But, I mean, a lot of times with these heavyweights, you can take out the body. And that's exactly what Chagayev did to him. He just kept hitting him around the body, and that took him down. So
yeah.
I don't see the big draw to Valuev. And
let me ask y'all this: do y'all know if it was there a rematch clause in that contract for him to fight Valuev again?
Yes,
there
was. He's gonna have to fight. I think it's up to three fights. Valuev can intercept it at time and activate that rematch clause. But you know that WBC has ordered eliminator between Oleander Solis and Nikolai Valuev for a shot at Vitaly Klitschko. So we're going to have to see which way he decides to go.
Solis.
Right. If that, I was about to say, if that goes down, then are you giving Solis a chance in that, what?
That will be the ugliest heavyweight fight we've seen probably in years.
I honestly think that what he's going to do is use his balls for a speed bag, you know, pretty much all he can do, because the guy's so damn big. Yeah, I just go up much under, like, you know, like them suckers, like, you know,
Don
but.
Don King will have to pay me to watch that fight.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Hey, only in America, baby. Only in America.
Yeah.
Don King said one time, I was standing right there, he said, I can make it rain. Not a fucking cloud in the sky. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we got a few more minutes here, man. Hey, we got the fight coming up this weekend with Kelly Pavlik, man, and Sergio Martinez. You know, Tim, you know, first off, man, what do you think about that fight?
I'm on the fence still, Benny. I'm not sure. Like, if it's pre-Hopkins Pavlik that shows up, Martinez is a well to hell, but I can also see Martinez, after his display against Paul Williams, dominate the fight by just boxing and staying away from the power punch and Pavlik.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, Pavlik, I think Pavlik's going to have his hands full, but it's like you said, it depends on who shows up that night, which one will show up that night. And I think it's going to be a hellacious fight. I think it's going to be a good fight. And the one thing that we all like as boxing fans are good fights. We like good matchups. You know, we like evenly matchups, and we like just to see people go at it. And, you know, one thing with Pavlik, I think, and with Martinez, I think it's going to do that. I think it's going to be something worth watching, you know. And, of course, I don't even know if I should even ask about this fight, but I'm going to do it because I'm still a fan of the heavyweight division. You know, we do have Tony Thompson, a friend of Bob's over there, had a little deal going on. But
mm-hmm.
Tony Thompson's posted.
Yeah, not too sure.
Tony Thompson is going to be fighting Owen Beck. And, Owen Beck's a nice guy. His chin, he don't have a chin, in my opinion, but he does have a little pop, but what do y'all think about that?
Well, first off, that's on Friday Night Fights this weekend, right?
Yeah,
right. Yes, man.
Okay, first, the Friday Night Fights people need to make sure that they put that fight as the co-feature that nobody gives a fuck about and doesn't help the heavyweight division whatsoever, and bump Hank Lundy versus Tyrese, what's his name, the head honcho, Hendricks, at that lightweight. That should be the main event, because nobody cares about Tony Thompson or Tony Thompson Allen Beck. It makes no sense. It means nothing.
I agree.
I have to disagree with you, Tim. You have one of the two best heavyweights in the division going at it on ESPN Friday Night Fights.
Two of the best. No.
It's a damn joke, man. God damn. Joke. Oh, shit, man. You got to know, man. But, no, I just
They said that dude was driving a cab, I thought. Didn't they say that dude drives a cab and stuff when he ain't fighting and stuff? Somebody heard that somewhere or some shit.
Driving a cab. Hey, there's some badass cabbies out there, though. I tried to jack one up in New York, got my ass kicked. You know, so they got some badass ones. Yeah, well, I guess it was. It looked kind of, I don't know. But hey, we also got Showtime, the Showbox New Generation with Fernando Guerrero and Michael Walker. I'm kind of afraid to ask you, Tim, if it's worth it, because you might say, fuck, and, you know, blow me off. But what do you think about that fight?
Well, I mean, Michael Walker, he had a great career early on, but fell off completely, losing to Danny Jacobs, which is nothing to be ashamed of. Danny Jacobs, top prospect, great. But then loses to Derek Finley, who we can all remember from the Andre Durrell fight, where Durrell basically made him quit in six rounds in a lackluster performance on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know what Walker has left in the tank, but he better have something or not. It's going to be a nice little showcase for Fernando Guerrero.
Yeah, I guess I can say that. But, well, guys, we don't have that much. I think we have about a minute and a half left.
We got a minute left.
One minute left. And I just
was going to beat the shit out of that dude, man. Pat was going to beat the shit out of that dude, I think, man.
Martinez?
Oh, real quick.
I think it's going to be a good knockout.
Miranda versus Butte. Miranda versus Butte on April 17th also.
I forgot to bring that up.
Butte, easily.
The one thing, hey, the one thing about Miranda, man, he's exciting to watch, man, whether he's knocking you out or getting knocked out.
Yeah, he is, but he doesn't have it. Butte's going to knock him out.
Yeah, I said that too.
All right. Cool. Man, guys, listen, I just want to thank everybody for coming to the show. And, hey, what's your name again, brother, the caller?
So, D, South Carolina.
Yeah. Okay, well, man, listen, dude, we appreciate you calling in, man. Hell, call in any time, man. I like your knowledge. And so call in. We're on every Tuesday night, you know, from 7 to 8 Central Standard Time. And we got Tim and Bob on here.
Hell, yeah.
We sure appreciate
calling
you
calling in again next week, man, definitely.
Well, hell, give us a call, man. But, hey, on behalf of Tim and Bob and all the guys out there, we really appreciate you for coming in tonight, listening to the show. I'm still in the infancy. I'm still learning this bullshit, so bear with me. But we love the sport of boxing, love the sport of MMA. We like fighting, period. So, you know, come back next week. Until then, man, God bless. Be safe, be good, or do something. Be safe, guys. You're listening to Big Dog Radio.